This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Joy 94.9 Saturday Magazine. I'm Macca. Here's Madeline.
Hi, is Bruce on the...
Yes, Bruce is here.
Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Good morning.
Now, in The Age, Mickey Perkins, wrote an article saying that outdated Victorian environmental laws are failing our wildlife, and that the Wildlife Act here dates from 1975, has never been reformed, and when it was introduced in 1975, it was based on the Game Act of 1958. Now, there are reforms... promise. There's a review open for consultation in February and March, been announced by the Environment Minister, Lily D'Ambrosio. What do you hope will happen in that review? What are you looking for?
Yeah, look, thanks for the opportunity to make some comment on this. So, as you correctly point out, the Environment Minister has undertaken a review of the Wildlife Act, which is sort of one of our a key piece of environmental legislation in Victoria to protect biodiversity. There's a number of others, but this is a key one that really deals with the protection of native fauna in Victoria. The Act, as you've pointed out, has never been really substantially overhauled and is pretty dated. It's worth pointing out part of the reason why the Minister's got to this point of reviewing Act, and it was really in response to some pretty egregious and spectacular incidents of unlawful killing of wildlife. One incident was the killing of hundreds of wedge-tailed eagles illegally down in East Gippsland. And there's been some similar sort of kind of spectacular and egregious killing of native wildlife like wombats and koalas and so forth too, all unlawfully. So that's prompted the present inquiry, which we obviously entirely support. We've put out a report essentially looking at what we think the key issues are with the Act and how that review might well be framed. Some of the key issues I think that we're really dealing with is the Act, as you point out, is really a historical product of the way in which the hunting and killing of native wildlife was managed, you know, about a century ago, effectively, or half a century ago, when primarily it was intended to, you know, manage the hunting and killing of wildlife. Now, the Act's moved on a bit since then, and there are sort of conservation purposes in there, but primarily the Act is a bit confused in its purposes and its effect. So one of the main effects really of the Act is to regulate. It protects and prohibits the killing of native wildlife, but primarily at the same time the effect of it is to regulate the hunting and killing and take of native wildlife. So that actually is regulated and administered officially by the Environment Department to the tune of authorising the killing of hundreds of thousands of native animals every year, which is a pretty fair toll. And that includes things like wombats, koalas, galahs, even threatened species like flying foxes are authorised to be killed every year despite the prohibition or as an exception to the prohibition. As many wombats are killed every year. That's a problem in itself, is that one of the main effects of the Act is really to regulate the killing and take of native wildlife. So that's something we think really needs to be sorted out and challenged. At the same time, the Act, because its origins were really in hunting, there's some kind of strange anomalies in the Act, such as species like deer and quail, which are introduced in the case of deer, invasive species. And very harmful species on the environment are authorised for hunting under the Act. And the other main purposes of the Act is still to regulate hunting. of both native and non-native species, and we think that's a major problem as well. So there's issues of enforcement and compliance administration of the Act. It's very opaque and uncertain why decisions are made, the basis on which they're made, whether they're enforced, whether they're followed up. So there's a broad range of issues that we see very timely, that they're now reviewed, and there's a substantial overhaul of this legislation, primarily to achieve really the protection and conservation and recovery of our native fauna in Victoria, because native fauna in Victoria, aside from the issue of their lawful or authorised killing, are being hammered on a number of fronts, habitat loss, climate change. There's the need to really think through how we do recovery and restoration and avoid the extinction of a lot of native species, as well as just kind of authorise their loss or their take for various purposes.
The legislation, what you're in effect saying is, we're speaking with Bruce Lindsay from Environment Justice Australia. The legislation provides a framework to kill animals rather than to conserve and sustain animals. It's a simplification, but that's realistically, what is happening, and you're advocating that it should be about actually sustaining and supporting and our native animals rather than providing a framework, to kill them.
Well, that's broadly correct. At law, under the Act, there is a prohibition on take or killing of native wildlife, but as I've pointed out and as you've correctly summarised, a lot of the direction and effort of the Act is actually put into lawfully killing them or harming them or disturbing their habitat and so forth. As I said, to the tune of tens or if not hundreds of thousands of animals a year. Our focus really here is at this point in time spelling out how we think the reform should go forward or how the review should be framed. So the Minister's announced a review at the moment, and I think that's going to be led by an advisory committee, and then we'll be looking at further in the course of that review, pointing out where we think further some steps of reform of protection of native fauna need to go. And that's really, as you indicate, not only about protecting them, but also we need to look at how we deal with recovery of a lot of species that are under enormous pressure, and not just from lawful killing, but from a whole lot of other pressures.
I mean, Bruce, it seems to me that will that review also look at the impact of the huge, huge numbers of loss of life that from the fires last year, and presumably will be ongoing, because that has such an impact on numbers of native fauna.
That's a very good point. So obviously, I don't know the terms of reference of the review at the moment, so I don't know what the precise scope of it's going to be. Those fires, of course, which are a natural event, but arguably exacerbated or amplified by climate change, so anthropogenic sources, and they did take out probably billions of native animals. Whether the review goes to the extent of dealing with those kind of events is indeed an open question. If we're looking at things like, if we're looking at reforming our protection laws that protect native fauna, to the extent that we're looking at recovery or restoration of species, which I think we should be, then you in part are looking at how the law and, the state and government as well as society should respond to those kind of catastrophic events. So, for instance, should we be looking at extending or expanding wildlife reserves of using much more strenuously protections of critical habitat of our native fauna, which are available under other laws, actually, but are very rarely used.
Also, the eagle killings you mentioned.
Yes.
In 2018, the farm worker, Murray James Sylvester, was jailed for 2 weeks and fined $2,500 for injecting insecticide into the lamb carcasses to poison the birds. As a lawyer, what sort of message do you think that kind of sentence gives to the community or says about how much we care about our wildlife?
Yeah, look, the good point that you make there at the end is, when we have penalties for things at law, criminal penalties or civil penalties, that's the message the community sends about how they value things. So that particular effect, there's two problems with what those particular events, aside from the actual killings, of course. One is that penalty is relatively weak. That's all really, at the end of the day, the magistrate, I think, in that instance, found that the penalty that could be imposed. Additionally, that fellow's employer was the one who ordered or commissioned him to do that, and he couldn't be charged at all because there was no offence under which to charge him, and he was really the person who was directing what was going on. So we do need to overhaul our sanctions and penalties that are associated with protecting protecting our native wildlife. In addition, we also have to overhaul how the compliance and enforcement and regulation of those laws work too, because I think one of the main that was one of the instances where the department actually felt they had to step in to do something because it was so spectacular. And there has been established an office, a regulator, but it's not independent, and that's one thing we're asking for, is that should be a robust, independent cop on the beat.
Yeah. We've got to... we're out of time, Bruce. Quickly, so how do people... Can you tell people quickly how they can have a look at how this review is taking place and how they can perhaps make a submission?
So, as I understand it at the moment, the department or the government haven't yet released or announced the specific detail at the last time I looked. I mean, it could be wrong in terms of this week, but... ordinarily, these processes occur through the Engage Victoria website. This one will be led by an independent ministerial advisory committee that I imagine will put out sort of a discussion paper and ask for comment on that. And then that will go, and then they'll probably interview people as well, and then they ultimately will put out recommendations
for
the form.
We'll keep an eye on that. Bruce Lindsay, Senior Lawyer with Environment Justice Australia. I think we've all learnt something this morning that we didn't know before, so I thank you for that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.
And thank you for your work. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.